Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon.
Hello and welcome into the Health Suites on Money FM 89.3. I'm Melissa Hyag. And joining me on the phone today is Assistant Professor Fan Yi at the Department of Real Estate with the NUS Business School. Hello, Prof.
Hi, thank you for having me here.
And a very big welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. First of all, you did that study, right, on the impact of noisy neighbors on the health of people. And what led you to do the study?
Back to about 6 to 7 years ago when I was living in London. I used to live in the southern bank of the River Thames. It's a nice neighborhood, nice view. But because of the tourists and pubs, I suffered from the neighborhood noise. I could not sleep well. When I could not sleep well, I started to think about the question, hey, how can such kind of noisy neighbor affect my sleep and then have some long-term impact on my health outcome? So then I conduct this study with Associate Professor Diana Weihold from the London School of Economics. With a nice Dutch data, we answer the question how the urban noise induced by neighbors affect the sleep and then further on our health outcome.
Right. And how did you do the study?
We should thank the Dutch data. It's a really nice data. We can track for about 5,000 Dutch adults across the years from 2008 to 2013. So this data set is very powerful because we know for each individual what's their demographic, like what's their age, what's their gender, what's their income, and also what's their residential status, where do they live, what kind of homes they have, whether they're exposed to noise neighbor, whether they're exposed to street noise, and a bunch of health outcomes, such as if they have cardiovascular disease, Lyme disease, joint and bones. So everything is included there, which allow us to track everything together.
Right. And did you find anything surprising about the findings? Because I know that a lot of researchers, they usually enter a study or research project with a hypothesis. Right.
So, yes.
So how did it work? Were the findings very surprising for you?
Yeah, because I also see a lot of studies that have linked up the sleep disruption to a variety of poor health outcomes, as you just mentioned. But most of them have been done in the laboratory. So in that way, there may be some limitations on the scope of duration of the risk results. So generally, we have very limited understanding in the general population, say that what's the impact of the noise induced by the neighbors on our sleep and then on the health, not in the short term, but over the long term, say in about one decade, how will your health change for those kind of noise? Mm. So that is something really makes us excited, and our findings really make us happy about this, whether we can contribute to the community, contribute to people's understanding.
Mm-hmm. But the question for me, in a way, is, you know, why do your study with the Dutch? You know, why not in other parts of Asia or in Singapore? Mm.
Yeah, that's a really a very great question. Because first, it's about the data availability. I think we have the awareness that in Europe, people are really careful about this kind of noise and such kind of well-being of the life. So in that way, they have such kind of detailed survey to answer the question, if you have exposed to the neighbor noise or any other kind of noise. So this is first about the data quality. And second is that not only ask about the data quality, they also ask for all the other aspects of the socioeconomic or demographic information about the individual. So in that way, we can link everything together. But you are perfectly right that now, about 10 years later, back to the Asia, now we have this kind of surge of awareness about the what's the impact of neighbor noise or other kind of noise on our well-being in the Asia country, especially in Singapore, where we have such kind of dense city topology. Mm. So this is actually what we are doing now. We want to extend the research in Europe back to Asia, to Singapore, to see if we have such kind of impact.
Ah, okay. Are you, sorry, did you say that you plan to start a study that in Singapore?
Yeah.
Oh,
yes,
what stage are you at now in terms of the planning for the project to kick off?
So we are actually discussing, having discussed with the government agency to see if we can have some noise-related data to work on this kind of impact of neighbor noise or street noise people's well-being here. It's ongoing, so I will keep you updated if we have any.
holding it very close to your chest, right? I shan't try to press you too much on that, but I think it would be actually very interesting because, you know, the difference between Singapore and Netherlands, right? The population density, I did a quick check, right? In the Netherlands, population density is about 502 people per square kilometer, right? Singapore, the population density is 8,000 per square kilometer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
correct.
Yeah, I remember when I was studying in Australia, Perth, and at night you get silence, right? In Singapore, there's always the ambient noise. You don't really hear it, but I think it's there buzzing in your head all the time. And I feel that in terms of my general mood, I am a lot calmer when I was in studying in Perth. But now, of course, I was also a student, you know, no worries in the world, no bills to pay. You know, so the feeling is very different, right? So I believe that all this will have some impact on a person's general well-being. But let's go back to the study and the kind of findings that you have. What kind of risks would you say sleep disruption can have on a person?
Right. So let me first add to what you just commented. I think it's very great. So when we use such kind of data from the Europe or from Dutch or say from other countries, actually because of this relatively lower density, what we estimate if we extend to Singapore, it could be a lower bound of the effect of sleep disruption on health. Which means that in Singapore or other dense city topologies, the impact could be even more severe. So this is one way we can extend to our current context. And back to your question, what we find is that the sleep disruption not only impacts the conventionally understood disease such as the cardiovascular disease, it also has the impact for other diseases that we little think about, such as the Lyme disease and even bones and joints. So this calls for some attention that such kind of neighbor noise is not something like trivial. We just leave it there as a nuisance. It actually can be a public health issue.
Sorry, let's go back to what you had responded earlier to my comment. You were saying that potentially the impact of noise on those in Singapore could be less than...
No, could be more.
Could be more, because, okay. Glad we got that clear.
What we estimate is from Europe. So the result could be a lower bound because it's less dense.
Right,
but here in Singapore, it's much more dense, right? So it can be even more.
Okay, I misunderstood because I thought because Singapore is generally noisier, the people here might be more used to noise, so therefore the impact might be less. Okay, so...
I mean, it's a kind of open empirical question. We just think about different channels.
Yeah, but when we talk about noise, I mean, like, you know, it's very subjective. What is noise? So for you, when you were doing your study, what kind of parameters would the noise have to fall within to be considered, you know, a factor?
Yes. So we use such kind of self-reported noise. As you mentioned, this is kind of subjective, so we use such kind of subjective measure. Each people, they report whether you have noise neighbor. And we acknowledge that each people, they have different level of sensitivity. So we also carefully control for that part. In other words, we tease out the impact that each people is different. Then we capture the impact of neighbor noise on sleep disruption.
Ah, okay. So I don't know if this falls within your expertise, but, you know, if we have an issue of neighbor noise, you know, how would you suggest we go about resolving this matter with our neighbors?
That's a very good question. Actually, we recently have been discussing how we can put forward for this kind of issue. So in another research, we actually proposed an IACT framework with other experts from the UK, US, and Europe. So we proposed IACT, first information, which means we provide the knowledge of its health impact. This is like what we are currently doing as academia. We provide such kind of research. And second, public awareness. This is what you are doing with me. Like, we have that kind of media and tips on how to be a good neighbor and this kind of tips. And the third is about the coordination. The different government departments should coordinate and collaborate together to work on to tackle the issue. And the last one to us is things that we set down the regulation and the laws to impose for that.
Okay. But barring anything that we need to do or get our neighbours to do to change their behaviour, which oftentimes, you know, can take a bit of a time, if at all, right? If it ever happens at all. On our part, right, what can we do to help us deal with noise better?
Oh, you mean now what we can
on
do
the,
to deal
on the
with
affected it, individuals?
What we can do to reduce the impact on us?
Yes,
or
yes,
you mean to the neighbours?
To on ourselves, right? We're not the noise maker, right? But we're suffering from it. So, you know, how can we help ourselves aside from having to get the neighbor to change the behavior?
Yes. I think the first is that we should think about some way to change the environment, such as some people use the double glazed windows to help you to get the good neighborhood, to get the quiet environment. But also, I think it's important like to talk with your neighbor in a polite way, to communicate with them. So this comes to the public awareness.
Okay. Do you have cheaper options aside from changing the windows and glass and all that? And talking to neighbours, sometimes it works, but sometimes it'll take some time, right? So I'm wondering, like, what else can we do? Because some people like to wear earphones or headphones with music or something to help them sleep. But I think in the long run, that's also not good for your hearing. So do you have any other suggestions before we wrap up this chat?
Well, we're constantly exploring. So the best way is from the source. So, for instance, we have this kind of noise complaint, like the government are working together. Like what you suggest, to have the music or earplug is also another cheaper way to do that. But we're exploring what's the best way to take the economic cost and social cost.
Or we can look out for announcements from NUS Business School asking for subjects to take part in your study, which could happen, I don't know, in the next few years.
yes, we will definitely keep you updated.
Yes, please break the news here on Money FM 89.3. Well, Professor Fani, thank you so much for your time and the information and helping to raise the awareness on the impact of noise on our health.
Thank you so much for having me here and introducing our research.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Assistant Professor Fan Yi of the Department of Real Estate, NUS Business School. Now, if you find yourself in a situation with a neighbour whose noise level is consistently beyond reasonable and affecting you, and communicating with them in a civil manner has not worked, you can first try approaching your grassroots leaders. If that doesn't work, you could turn to the Community Mediation Centre, or CMC, under the Ministry of Law. Now, the CMC has a panel of trained volunteer mediators, and so far, an overall settlement rate of about 75%. So that's, you know, pretty good success rate. And because they're volunteers, payment-wise, all you need to do is make a one-time fee of a $5 payment. So if you think you need the CMC's help, you can register your case online at cmc.mlaw.gov.sg or call the hotline at 1-800-225-529. So if you're facing issues with a neighbour, stay calm, there is help. I'm Melissa here for the Workday Afternoon. You are with Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.